Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the address this morning is the Gospel reading, Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So what comes to mind for you when you hear the word welcome? Perhaps some of you do have one of those welcome mats in front of your house. We all know the importance of welcoming and being welcomed, don't we? Sometimes this is easy, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we feel welcome, sometimes we don't. In these three short verses today, Jesus uses the word welcome six times. So that I think it's fair to say welcoming and being welcomed is his main theme here. As well as the rewards attached to this welcoming is another strong theme. This text is about welcoming the messengers of God, and so welcoming God himself. Welcoming each other as the people of God, and being welcomed by others, even those outside the family of God. So today we're going to work through this text fairly closely in the first part of the sermon, and then in the second part we'll think more specifically about how this applies to us today. Here's how Jesus begins. Whoever welcomes you. So who's the you? In the first instance, this is the 12 apostles. These words of Jesus come at the end of his long talk to the 12 about the mission he is sending them out on, parts of which we've heard last week and the week before here at Bethlehem. He's sending these 12 out to preach the good news of the kingdom, to minister to others in his name. And as he does, he warns them there will be significant hostility and rejection at times. But then here at the end, he finishes on an encouraging note. There will also be those who welcome you, who receive you, who listen to your message, who even offer you hospitality. There will be those who lay out the welcome mat for you. Remember how Jesus sees this mission as a plentiful harvest just waiting to be brought in. Now, what's more, he says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. So the apostles are to be something like ambassadors, like we still have today between countries. Imagine, for example, the ambassador of France. He has an appointment with our Prime Minister. They have some important things to discuss. Now, as our Prime Minister welcomes that ambassador, he doesn't only welcome that person, but the one who sent him or her. So it is with Jesus and his apostles. Whoever welcomes them welcomes Jesus. Now, just a little aside there. This is one of the reasons why we can never separate Jesus from his apostles. Sometimes we can be tempted to do this, for example, as we read the New Testament. We can be tempted to play off even Jesus against the Apostle Paul, for example. But we can't do it, because when we welcome the apostles and their words, Jesus says we welcome him. But even more incredible than this, Jesus says that welcoming the apostles and welcoming him means another welcome takes place. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So when you welcome Jesus, you welcome God the Father. You actually lay out the welcome mat for the God of the universe. Now, in Matthew's gospel, this is probably the clearest statement so far about who Jesus is as the mediator between God and human beings. That Jesus is the one through whom we have access to God the Father in heaven. Now, more often, we think about this as Jesus opening up the way to the Father. That because of what Jesus does for us, especially in his death on the cross, God the Father now welcomes us into his heavenly home, which of course is wonderfully true. But notice here the picture is the other way around. That Jesus is the way in which we welcome God the Father into our homes, into our families, into our lives. Jesus speaks about this in another place. He said, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So there's a welcome of God's messengers here. Then Jesus continues in the text, "Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." So what's going on here? Jesus seems to be going from the particular situation of the apostles, and he's moving to a more general principle about how God works when any of his people are welcomed. Because notice the progression. From the apostle to the prophet to the righteous person to even the little one of his disciples. He begins with God's specially authorized messengers, but then he says there's a similar dynamic with welcoming any of God's people. And notice it's welcoming them because of who they are. That's what it means to welcome in the name of a prophet, in the name of a righteous person. Welcome because of who they are. God says he will reward when this happens. Now, I realize that when we hear this language of rewards, it sometimes makes us a little bit nervous, doesn't it? We sometimes worry that this talk of rewards could somehow undermine the good news of the gospel. That we are saved by grace alone, only ever as a free gift in Jesus Christ. Or we might worry that this talk of reward could lead us to doing good works only for selfish reasons or something like that, just so that I get a reward. But in the Bible, these things go together. Eternal life is a completely free gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And there are promises of rewards. The best analogy that comes to mind for me, which many of you have heard before from this pulpit, is the human family. My children are only ever my children because of grace, if you like. How they behave is not the defining factor for their status in the family. And yet, as their father who loves them and wants them to grow in character and so on, I do want to reward them in particular ways for particular acts of love and kindness. And I want them to show this love and kindness to all people. But it's also true there is a particular joy that I have when I see them doing this for their siblings. Because isn't that also where there's the most conflict? We'll come back to this theme later. But as we think about these rewards that Jesus attaches to these welcomes, it's also worth considering how this is a theme that runs through the whole Bible. Think back to the Old Testament for a moment. Do you remember when God first called Abraham? What did he say to him? "I will bless those who bless you." It's through Abraham that all the nations will be blessed, and yet a lot seems to rest on how the nations will treat Abraham and his family. Or think of Rahab, who took in Joshua's spies at Jericho, and so she was spared when they took the city. Or think of Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. In case you don't remember that one, it's in the middle of Elijah's ministry, and he's sent to this widow who is very poor. She has so little that she tells Elijah this would be her last meal before her and her son starve to death. But Elijah tells her, "Don't be afraid, bring me this bread, and the Lord will provide for you and your son." And sure enough, she feeds the prophet, and it says that the jar of meal and the jug of oil did not run dry. In the words of our text today, she was rewarded for her welcome of the prophet. This is a big theme that runs right through the scriptures, that those who welcome and bless God's people are blessed and rewarded themselves. It's got to do with the fact that God's mission in this world is so important, and God's people are so dear to him. He so closely identifies with them that he blesses and rewards those who welcome and support them. So then, thus far the text. Let's think now about how this can apply to us specifically today. And I want to finish by thinking about it from three different perspectives. First, we can think about this text in terms of the relationship between pastors and congregations. In that first verse, there's this focus on welcoming the messengers of God, isn't there? So very simply for us, this can be an encouragement for congregations to welcome the pastors God sends. It's a reminder that the relationship between pastors and congregations is not only one of an employer and an employee. It's much more significant than that. It's to be based on welcoming. And this is very much my experience as a pastor. I remember when I became a pastor at the ordination service here in Adelaide. It was a wonderful day, but it didn't quite feel complete. It didn't feel quite complete until I arrived at my first congregation in Brisbane. And what happened there? There was this wonderful group of Christian people whom I'd never met before, ready to welcome me as their pastor. This is my experience. Congregations are generally excited to welcome a pastor into their midst, to receive him, to offer this hospitality, even to offer a place to live in their community and so on. I think this is part of how this teaching of our Lord applies to us today, welcoming the messengers of God. Now, just to be clear, pastors are not apostles. But we do say that the apostolic ministry continues through the ministry that pastors are called to. And here's the thing. As you welcome pastors who bring the word to you, who speak forgiveness to you on behalf of Christ, who baptize and celebrate the Lord's Supper among you, you in fact welcome not just your pastors, but you welcome Jesus. You welcome the one who sent him. So that's the first application for today. The second one is that this can encourage us in how we welcome each other as the people of God. Even simply by being here today, by being a part of a Christian congregation, you are, in a sense, welcoming each other. And so you have Jesus' promise that you will not lose your reward. And there are so many other ways we then extend this welcome to each other in congregational life, aren't there? We may look out for those members of the congregation who don't have anyone to talk to on a particular day. We may invite them over to morning tea. We may help them to feel welcome. We can invite people from our congregation to our own home for a meal or something like this. Being part of a home group is sometimes another way that people welcome each other in the Christian community. That's a little free plug for you there. And notice, this welcome and hospitality of God's people doesn't need to be grandiose. Jesus points to even the smallest act of hospitality, just a cup of cold water. Even for this, you can be encouraged and assured of God's reward. There's a particular call here to loving hospitality within the Christian community. Of course, Jesus wants us to love our enemies even. But we also remember the words of St. Paul. Whenever we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially for those of the household of faith. That's the second application for today. Lastly then, there's one final perspective we can take with this teaching, which I think is one we don't tend to think about as much, which is to consider not how we are the welcomers here, but how we are the welcomees. I don't think that's a word, but you get the point. Because notice in this text, in the first place, it's not so much about what we do, but about what is done to us, about receiving hospitality. These people who give us a cup of cold water, who offer hospitality, they're not even necessarily other disciples, are they? It could be anyone, non-Christians too, and this is really worth thinking about. Because if we go back to those Old Testament examples, one of the fascinating things about them is they're almost all about people outside the covenant family of God. The widow of Zarephath and Rahab, they're from outside Israel. And so from this perspective, Jesus is teaching us here that there is an aspect of mission that is not about welcoming, but about being ready to be welcomed. Being willing to receive hospitality from others, to receive acts of kindness and gifts from others, including non-Christians. Jesus is saying that when people know you are a Christian and they want to welcome you, they want to show you even a small act of kindness, don't take that lightly. They will share in your reward. You remember this theme comes up again when Jesus speaks of the last judgment. Whatever you did to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. Now think back for a moment to my example of the father and his children. And let me just stretch that picture a bit further. Imagine when my kids grow up, and maybe one of them moves to a new city or even a new country. And imagine another person outside of our family welcomes them into their home to stay, takes care of them, helps them get on their feet because they know who they are. As a father, wouldn't I also want to reward that person? Isn't that just how love works when I love my kids? Jesus is saying that there's a similar dynamic with God and how people treat his beloved children. And to be honest, I find this quite mysterious stuff. It's hard to know for sure how all this works out in the end. Notice, the rewards aren't spelled out. There's a call to faith here too. But I find it tremendously encouraging. And perhaps you will as well. When you consider those people close to you who don't seem ready to confess faith in Christ themselves, people you've prayed for, people you've tried to talk to about God's love and grace, but people who are willing to welcome you as a Christian, there is encouragement here. To take comfort in Jesus' promise that when that happens, he is at work. And in his way and in his time, they too will not lose their reward. This has been beautifully picked up in a modern Christian song that we sometimes use in Lutheran circles called Because We Bear Your Name, where it says, "Bless those who give us any gift, because they know that we are yours. Reward them with your grace." So what do you think of when you hear the word welcome? Today, Jesus has taught us about the dynamics of welcome in the Christian church and beyond. That as we welcome the ones he sends proclaiming the gospel, we welcome Jesus and God the Father. That as we welcome each other in the Christian community, God is pleased with this and attaches rewards to it. That as we are welcomed by others, even then there is a reward which cannot be lost. May God grant it to us. For Jesus' sake. Amen.